You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Friday, final hour, Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. We're celebrating Thanksgiving today, and with the help of the Traeger Grill, roasted turkey, pumpkin pie, mashed potatoes, green bean casserole, sweet potato casserole. Todd has not been in really involved in the show today very much. He has been tweeting back and forth with somebody named Dylan Dreyer with NBC's Today Show about a recipe for pumpkin pie.
He's a pretty famous person. Someone named Dylan Dreyer.
I don't know who Dylan Dreyer is.
He's like the main
is.
Like weather person and like part of the NBC Today Show team.
Okay.
He's not like a fill-in or something.
Did she? Well, I just said if this is a guy, you're not tweeting.
Probably not.
Okay. So Dylan Dreyer with the Today Show. How did this come about that you are tweeting her during our show?
I saw a tweet, I think early in the morning, and she was talking about, I guess, pumpkin pie or what's, you know, the best kind of pie to have for Thanksgiving. And I think it was like 15, 20 minutes before the show, and I had a free moment, and I decided I would send a note back encouraging, you know, people that follow her, and if they follow me, that pumpkin pie a la mode, I guess the words I used was some vanilla ice cream a la mode action or something like that, which I guess got people all their antlers up or something.
Okay. Did she reply to you?
She did not.
Okay. But you replied to her.
I did.
Okay. You replied to Giada. That was what, last week?
A week or two ago.
Okay. All right.
About her green bean casserole.
Okay. Why not Bobby Flay? Somebody like that?
Yeah, they get plenty of attention.
Okay. All right. Well, welcome to the final hour of the program. The Traeger is all fired up, and so are we. Nick Wright, Fox Sports 1. First things first, show will join us coming up in a little bit here. Some NBA items to talk about. Gordon Hayward turning down the Boston Celtics with a $34 million price tag that he's turning that down. Is he going to go to the Hawks? Is he going to the Knicks? Miles Garrett will not be playing this weekend. He's on the COVID list. The Raiders, the COVID count is 11 players right now. Have we seen any language, McLovin, where... At what point do you say we need to postpone this game? We need to move this game? Because I go back to Stephon Gilmore of the Patriots, and he was out of a Thursday game. They moved the Thursday game to a few days later to a Monday night game.
I have not seen anything. I mean, remember the Titans had, they got into the 18, 19,
yeah,
20 number,
yeah,
and they moved that, but... I don't know. Ross Tucker said that those guys will come off the list. That's why it's so confusing.
Okay. All right, 877-3DP-SHOW, email address dp@danpatrick.com. Prior to the end of last hour, I dropped a bombshell, and I said this could be the most embarrassing thing I've ever revealed on this program. And I've revealed a lot of embarrassing things, a lot of personal things. I revealed that I have been watching Emily in Paris. It's a show. I don't even know if it's on Netflix or Amazon, but I've been watching it.
Uh-huh.
I'm not sure. But Emily is actually Phil Collins, the musician's daughter. Yes, Seton.
Well, I just wanted to give a quick update on Emily in Paris because it was a fairly embarrassing admission by you. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean to make things worse, but
okay.
One of our iTeam field reporters here, Becky King, has just sent us a tweet.
Yes, Becky.
From Netflix.
Okay.
It was from November 10th. Netflix tweeted, "Friendly reminder that Emily in Paris is supposed to be pronounced with a French accent, so Emily and Paris rhyme, which means the actual name of the show is MLE in Paris," which is infinitely worse.
Oh, I love it.
Andrew, you could disagree with it all you want, but Netflix said it.
No.
MLE in Paris.
No, I mean, that makes it, that even now I'm embarrassed to watch it. I watch rom-coms.
Emily and Paris. Right,
there's not a single French person thing that the show is so Americanized. It's crazy.
Friendly reminder.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
It's not Emily in Paris. It's Emily and Paris.
And that's Lily Collins, who is Emily and Paris.
Her name is Lily.
And that's Phil Collins' daughter. Yes, Paulie.
Dan, as a journalist, I'm going to have to insist that if you guys talk about this show, you say it correctly. Emily in, and I can't do that.
I agree.
Hmm. Okay.
Journalistically.
Cosign.
But when I want to be manly, then I go to Peacock because then I'm able to watch Yellowstone.
You can balance MLE and Paulie with
Kevin Costner. Kevin Costner, star of Yellowstone. Season 3 starting November 22nd. Yes, McClellan.
Could you argue those are the two most opposite shows in the history of television?
Pretty close. Pretty close, I'm going to guess. But you know what? It's not going to stop me from binge-watching Emily in Paris coming up this weekend. And I did take French in high school, just to let you know. And I know more French than Emily in Paris does, just letting you know. All righty. Welcome to the program, already in progress. The Seahawks came into last night's game against the Cardinals with the worst defense in the NFL, but I give the front office credit because they went out and got Carlos Dunlap from the Bengals. He had two sacks, including the game winner in the final minute. And they got back to running the football, which helped the Cardinals quarterback Kyler Murray stay on the sidelines. Kyler Murray got banged up in the first half. He wasn't the same in the second half. He struck me as a quarterback who did not want to run the ball, not as much as he normally does. Seattle, I'm going to give them credit because they have at least made an attempt to make that defense competitive. And maybe that's the reason why they could be the team to beat now. Dunlap is, at least you're putting pressure on the quarterback. And, you know, Jamal Adams is still there in the secondary. But the formula worked last night. And now they sit atop the NFC West. And I think they stay there if the defense is at least competitive. Dunlap's big night, encouraging sign. And, you know, maybe they are the team to beat in the NFC West. Here's Russell Wilson on the performance of the front office and Carlos Dunlap.
First of all, I think you got to give credit to John Schneider and Pete to get a guy like Carlos Dunlap. He's such a superstar. He's this guy who can really help us. You know, you need those kind of players, especially in our division, the kind of guys. Him coming off the edge is a huge factor. I know he sacked me a few times and hit me pretty hard a few times in the past. But, you know, just to have a great guy, great teammate, he's been awesome in the locker room. He's obviously been tremendous on the field. You know, he's such a huge factor to the game. And he causes, you know, havoc. And to obviously fourth and 10, you know, for him to, you know, make a huge sack, you know, in that situation, it was an unbelievable play. It won the game for us right there in that moment, and he's got everything you could want.
Yeah, he's good. Good to have him put some pressure. People didn't realize what kind of player he was when he was playing for the Cincinnati Bengals, but maybe this is, I don't know if it's the blueprint, and maybe it is, but the question is, can you carry it out week to week? I love when we go, oh, we figured out how to stop or how to beat or contain somebody. You have to have the personnel to be able to implement that. And the Cardinals could have easily won this game when you think about it. You know, I don't know how that's not pass interference or face guarding at the very end. I mean, when Kyler's throwing to Isabella, like that's pass interference.
Isabella,
Amelie in Paris. But I don't know. I think they could have easily, they could have won that game, and Kyler wasn't 100% there. But if your blueprint is, we're going to put pressure on Kyler Murray, and we're going to make Kyler Murray, we're going to dictate what he does. And if you're able to do that, then, all right, I like your chances against them. Because if you let him decide, then he's going to kill you. Yeah, Paul.
Kyler Murray.
Yes, McLovin.
Are the Cardinals a little better than you thought they were going to be?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think they're a year ahead, and I said to start the year that they're going to be a dangerous team. I don't know how consistent they can be, but, you know, you lose Chandler Jones. That's a big loss. And then they lose one of their offensive linemen who is always there and, like, doesn't miss a start in 5 years, I'm thinking. But it's a good team. But I think that they have those moments where they can be a spoiler. I just don't know if they're going to make the playoffs or not. Because it feels like somebody in the NFC West is going to fall to the wayside between the Rams and the Cardinals. Yeah, McLeod.
By the way, Greg Olsen tore his fascia last night.
Yeah,
that was sad because he was starting to play a little bit. Like,
so he basically broke a bone in his, or tore something in his foot.
No, like plantar fascia.
Yeah.
You know that that muscle that goes up the bottom of your foot.
Yeah.
So should he? Do we look back at this and say he should have just stayed in the booth?
No, because it was his decision. I never want to tell you to retire. I want to know why you retire, how long you've been thinking about retiring, but he's thinking about getting a ring. And he'll have an opportunity to be in the booth. You know, one of these, Fox or CBS, will hire him to be in the booth. But he had a chance. You know, he just wanted a chance to be able to play. You know, once it's done, it's done. And that's why when, you know, it's amazing. We're always trying to push people out. Like, hey, think about retiring. Like Drew Brees, if he wants to play again, that's up to him. No, Tom Brady, want to play to his 45. I didn't think he was going to do it. Looks like he's going to do it. Ben, how long are you going to play? however he wants to play. Aaron Rodgers. I mean, these are guys that, these are all Hall of Famers here that we're watching. I don't want to see you leave. I just don't want to see you play if you're not playing up to that high standard. But it's not my career, my ego, my legacy. You know, I want to see you play as long as you want. Taysom Hill, by the way, is the starting quarterback for the Saints coming up this weekend. Man, this game got a whole lot more. What's the point spread on this? Did they establish the line, or were they waiting to see if it's Jameis Winston or Taysom Hill?
I was seeing that it was Saints minus four. It's in New Orleans.
Okay. If this is in Atlanta, I'm taking Atlanta. I might even take Atlanta in New Orleans. Yes, McClellan.
If you're the Saints, don't you just try and run the ball like every play just to keep Atlanta's offense has been looking good? Just conservative, conservative, conservative.
Well, I mean, you can only do it so long. You have to be successful when you run the football. And it feels like Kamara's better out of the backfield. I mean, Taysom Hill's probably the best runner in the backfield. Yeah, Paul.
I'm really curious if they have a whole new package of plays for Taysom Hill that Breeze would never run a read option with Kamara. Never.
Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, they would never even consider. Remember they used to have Nick Foles run the read option back in Philly?
Yeah.
It made no sense because Nick couldn't run. This is like Taysom Hill's the perfect read option guy because he can go inside or outside. I wonder if that's going to be the plan, like a totally different offense.
I like when you have a coach who has the quarterback out there as if he's going to run the read option. And you know that he's not going to run the read. There is no read to the option. The only option is I'm going to pitch it to this running back as soon as you get close to me. Let me get some phone calls in here. We'll talk to Nick Wright from Fox Sports 1. He'll join us coming up here. Dylan in Tennessee joins us. Good morning, Dylan. What's on your mind?
Hey, Dan. 6'2", 210. I just wanted to help you out as a fellow fan. It's actually Emily and Perry. My mother loves the show, so just wanted to let you know.
Thank you, Dylan. I appreciate that. Thank you. Yes, McLovin.
How far in are you?
Well, the boyfriend is not going to Paris. And I think the chef who's at the fourth floor apartment underneath hers, there's some sparks going on there. Nobody in the office likes Emily and Perry. That's about where I am.
You're right. Hooked.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah. And then, yes, Todd.
Are you closer to seeing this through and or are you closer on the fence towards maybe stopping the watching of this?
Well, it gets to a certain point where you go, do I continue? I'm this deep. I've done this with movies where you go, okay, I've watched for like 42 minutes. Should I continue to watch because I don't think it's that good? This is bad, but it's kind of good. Like Cobra Kai is not bad. It's just sort of, it's not great. But it's really entertaining.
Somehow it's fantastic.
It is.
All at the same time.
Seton kept saying, you're going to love Cobra Kai. And I go, but I don't, like the premise sounds really corny and it's based off, you know, Mr. Miyagi. And I just went, I don't know if I could do this, Daniel-san.
I've never seen a show ride the line between good and terrible, but somehow be amazing all at the same time.
I know. I'm right there with you.
It's tremendous.
I know. And Seton goes, you're not going to be able to turn off. It's going to be great. Cliffhanger at the end of season two. Yeah, got me. We're going to get Ralph on, I think, in December. Ralph Macchio. Yes, McLovin.
I got a show that we're all going to get hooked on.
Okay.
The last season, The Crown, my wife is watching it. And every time I walk by, it's, you know, that very popular show about the queen on Netflix.
Well, the Princess Diana storyline right now.
Yeah.
That's creating headlines.
Yeah. Are you into that?
No.
And also Margaret Thatcher.
No, because I didn't watch Downton Abbey.
Yeah, but this is Downton Abbey was 100 years ago. This is like history we remember.
Yes. Yeah, like you don't have to see Downton Abbey to understand this
Oh,
one.
You don't?
No, they're separate.
But can I just pick up the final season of The Crown? Do I have to watch the other season?
You pick up the final season. And by the way, if you watch half an episode of Downton Abbey, I know you, Dan, you will be in for all 5 years.
No, I can't do that.
It's amazing.
No, I don't do that.
Visually, it's exquisite.
No, I don't do the English period pieces. No, I don't do that.
Remains of the Day, none of that?
No, I don't do that. I don't do any of those things. Jeff in Detroit. Hi, Jeff. What's on your mind?
What up, though? Happy Thanksgiving. from Chat Row on this DP show today, brother.
Thank you, Jeff.
Listen, big man, I'm going to tell you like this. You explaining those foods. I'm the type of guy, I window shop before I eat. I walk through the restaurant to see what everybody else has, and if I like it or not, because it looks completely different on the menu than it does in person. My question to you, Dan, is this. My fandom has kind of waned a little bit. I find myself rooting for the for the Lions. And against the Lions. It's like when Washington came back the way they did, it really put, you know, I found myself wanting them to score, but then I'm like, man, they ain't going to beat the teams that they need to beat. I don't know. I just felt kind of funny, and I'm surprised you weren't watching the Jeezy versus Gucci Mane on Instagram with all of your viewing yesterday.
No, I haven't gotten that deep. I don't do Instagram or Twitter or any of those things, but thank you, Jeff. Jeff is so all in on Detroit sports, and I feel bad for him because he's such a good guy. But it's time to either move or just get a whole new slate of teams.
Get some new hobbies.
Yeah. If somebody says, "Hey, why did you move?" I just have to have new teams to root for. I don't know. Maybe Jeff needs to be a Uber driver in Tampa. Maybe that's where he needs to move right now. Chris in Maryland. Hi, Chris. What's on your mind today?
Hey, DP. What's going on?
Hi.
Okay, two things. First, I just wanted to wish happy Thanksgiving to all of you. Thanks for bringing so much cheer into our home on a regular basis.
Thank you.
The second, I had a sort of random question. Can you see a situation where a team would not draft or not have a running back? And here's why I ask. You've got all these running quarterbacks now. You could have a Taysom Hill type of player. You could have a wide receiver line up in the backfield. And I'm just, you know, wondering, with the short lives of the running backs, could you take that money and do something else with it and take that roster slot and do something else with it?
All right. Thank you, Chris. Well, first of all, I don't want to spend big money on my running back. Therefore, I can have interchangeable parts. And if I want to add another receiver, that's fine. But I think in today's NFL, you have to have a quarterback who can throw. You have to lead with your passing, or at least that has to be a pretty important ingredient here in your success. I don't want to invest in running backs. I mean, look at Carolina with Christian McCaffrey. Who knows how many games he'll play this year? Saquon Barkley. Now, is he going to be ready to come back next year? Kamara, I love him as a receiver, but there's no way I want to use a first-round pick. If I can help, I don't want a first-round pick on a running back, and I certainly don't want to give him a second contract. Look no further than Zeke Elliott. And I said at the time, no way. No way do I want that. I was all in on Saquon. I thought he would have been a great security blanket for Eli. I thought that they had spent all that money on their defense. They were ready to make a Super Bowl run, and I whiffed on that one completely. Yes, McClellan.
So he was suggesting don't have a running back at all, just a quarterback who can be the run threat. But if you think about it, I grew up with two running backs, fullback and a running back. Now there's only one running back. Is it possible in 15 years there'll be zero running backs in anybody's backfield?
Well, there might be if you think about it. You know, you just have an empty backfield, and then it's all about matchups. All you want to do is look for the mismatch. And if my mismatch is at the wide receiver position or the tight end, then why not? I mean, you go back to what Belichick did with two tight ends. I mean, that was unheard of. Two tight ends, and they're both pass receiving tight ends. But Belichick saw this market, this opportunity. I got guys who can get down the field, and your linebackers can't cover them. By the way, Jamal Adams, he's not a cover. He's not a cover defensive back. He's meant to hit somebody on the run. Because it feels like receivers can go right by Jamal Adams. Yes, Paul.
There was a play on the goal line. I can't remember the name of the running back or receiver from the Arizona, but he, about the 5-yard line, cut right in front of Jamal Adams. And Adams was looking in the backfield like, here comes Kyler. I'm going to get him. And all of a sudden, whoop, 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 he's in the end zone.
And I thought Jamal Adams was brought in to basically cover George Kittle. That Seattle brought him in because they were going to neutralize George Kittle.
That he's doing what he's assigned to do because he's not covering anybody else.
Yeah, well, he doesn't have to cover George Kittle, but he's not a cover safety. That is for sure. Let me take a break. One of my favorites, Nick Wright, will join us on loan from First Things First on Fox Sports 1. More phone calls coming up as well. It's 21 after the hour here on the Dan Patrick Show. I love sharing. And I love putting my name behind something. So when I tell you that I like this, I've eaten this, I use this, I drive this, my golf clubs, whatever it is, these are things that I use on a daily basis. You know, obviously, if you're watching on Peacock, I work out. I think that's pretty obvious. But also, did you know that I have 130 calories guilt-free, 20 grams of protein, 4 net carbs guilt-free? It's called Built Bar. And you're probably going to go, there's no way that that tastes like a protein bar. But it is a protein bar. And I shared yesterday with the Danettes. And I can proudly say they, I think, ate every one of the Built Bars that I put out. Built Bar has come to the rescue. 18 flavors. You're going to love them. Mint brownie, coconut almond. You're going to taste it and you go, this is a candy bar. It's a protein bar. Go to BuiltBar.com. Use the promo code DP and you'll get 20% off your order. So promo code DP at BuiltBar.com. You're welcome. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app. Starting today through the 30th, Traeger is offering big savings on wood pellet grills. Their Black Friday sale. Plus, you can get free shipping when you enter the promo code Dan at checkout. Head to TraegerGrills.com/DP Show to start shopping or find a dealer near you. I told you guys about the dream I had the other night. At least I thought I had a dream, and it was about Marcus Howard signing with the Denver Nuggets. And then Paulie said, well, maybe you saw it before you went to bed, but Marcus Howard signed as a free agent with Denver. He scored over 2,700 points for Marquette. Wasn't taken in the NBA draft. First player all time to score at least 2,500 points at a school in the major conferences and not be drafted. But he, that sounds like a stat of the day. Can I get a little music?
Stat of the day.
Man,
stat of the day,
tough audience.
Stat of the day. Stat of the day. Stat of the day. Stat of the day. Stat of the day.
But I'm happy that Marcus Howard, you know, he's undersized. He's about 5'11", but I think he averaged 27 a game for Marquette last year, and now he goes to the Nuggets. He's Nick Wright, first things first, and all-around good guy. Let me start with NBA news there for you, Nick. Explain Gordon Hayward's philosophy, game plan here of where's he going to end up?
Well, wherever he can get one more contract would be my guess. I don't blame him for this. Obviously, what's happened in Boston, he's been totally snake bit. It started as terribly as something can start. He's getting injured in the first half of your first game. He's kind of, because of his level of play since then, been lowered on the rotation as far as level of importance. And I know people look at Gordon Hayward is opting out of $30 million. Well, yeah, but he's probably opting into what will undoubtedly be less per year, but more total. I think he'll probably get 3 years, 60-some million dollars maybe from a team like the Hawks that has money to burn and is trying to add some veteran leadership. I reported last week, I think they're targeting Rondo to try to help kind of guide along Trae Young. So I think that's what happens there. And it's another, if you ask me, I mean, Celtic fans need to understand they can't replace the asset. They needed him to opt in and then trade him or do something. They don't have the money to replace the asset. And so Boston, it's really interesting, Dan. If Boston, you know, had the hijack with the Nets are going to tear it up, build it up, tear it down, and build it back up before the Celtics make an NBA Finals with that heist from them nearly a decade ago now.
Has this Celtics team underachieved?
Oh, I think so. I don't know if the team – let me rephrase. I think Danny Ainge is underachieved. I don't know if you saw the latest, you know, report. A former Boston Herald reporter – I apologize, I don't have the name in front of me – who tweeted yesterday
– Steve Bulpit.
Thank you, Steve Bulpit. I assume he used to go on SportsCenter with you back in the day. He reported that, they had interest in James Harden – but then they cooled on it because of, you know, tertiary reasons, which makes James Harden the 13th consecutive big name free agent or possible player that Danny Ainge thought about, but decided this 11-year-old in Southern California who he holds the draft rights to in 2028 is just too good to give up. And so you didn't go and get Kawhi, the team that did won the title. You didn't go and get Anthony Davis, the team that did won the title. And you're not even going to attempt to get James Harden. And instead, the Nets, the Sixers, the Bucks all might be better than you, and that's just in the East next year.
Yeah, I just wonder what the game plan is for the Celtics, because I do think Danny Ainge, there's been moments of brilliance there. And you have this young team. I don't know where Kemba is. I mean, I think Kemba feels, he certainly looks spent. I love Tatum and Jaylen Brown, but I don't know. Do you think they would really consider James Harden in Boston?
Well, I don't think they will, and it's because they overvalue their own guys. Listen, Jason Tatum is an excellent player. But Celtic fans have decided he's going to win multiple MVPs. He'll never win one. And so you don't have a guy that's going to be a top five guy in the league. You could have had Kawhi Leonard for Jaylen Brown, who is a poor man's version of Kawhi Leonard. And you're like, no, we can't do it. And you can say, oh, Anthony Davis wasn't going to re-sign. Okay, you could still try to go win the title. And you have made one big swing since you've had all these assets. And it was a swing and a miss. It was Kyrie. And he couldn't wait. He said, I'm going to stay there forever, and then couldn't wait to get out of there. So I just feel like, you know, Boston calls itself Title Town. The only team that's not holding up its end of the bargain is the Celtics. They've got one ring since the Berlin Wall fell, and that's because Kevin McHale gift-wrapped him Kevin Garnett. So I just don't know when they're actually going to go for it.
If you ran the Rockets, what would you do?
Try to convince them to buy me out so I can go to a better situation like Daryl did. I mean, talk about an all-time move. I mean, hey, listen, you know, I think I'm going to take some time off, but why don't you give me some money to leave? And, oh, you're $10 million a year for a way better situation. Listen, I empathize with Tillman Fertitta a bit. During the pandemic, if there were four businesses you didn't want to be involved in, you'd probably say, all right, the hotel business, the luxury hotel business, that's going to be tough. Casinos, that would be tough. High-end restaurants would be tough in the NBA. How about you own only those four things and all of those things? So he's in a rough spot. I get that. But I don't know what the hell they're doing. I don't understand. They bought a second-round pick for $4.5 million. That feels more like money laundering than team building to me. I don't know what that is, but I guess it's part of the trade they made for the first-round pick. So I think they're going to have to rip it down. But the problem is the owner wanted them to get off the Chris Paul contract so bad. I believe with, you know, good reason to believe, he was forced to trade James Harden. Forced to trade Chris Paul for Russell Westbrook, and you give away all those picks. So now you tear it down, but you don't have your own picks. So what I wouldn't do is trade James Harden for a package surrounding 26-year-old Caris LeVert. If I'm trading James Harden, I'm getting Ben Simmons, I'm getting Michael Porter Jr. How about this? This is a fake trade only I am speculating about. One for one, James Harden, Donovan Mitchell. Donovan's under contract. Long term, you'd have to get Harden over the fact that he's going to have to live in Salt Lake City. But hey, James Harden living in Salt Lake City, he might be a 40-point-a-game guy with no nightlife. Donovan and Gobert, they're never going to get over it, and they're right now best case fifth best team in the West. But you can't trade him for Caris LeVert and Spencer Dinwiddie, who are 26 and 27 years old in draft picks that are going to be bad picks. You can't do that.
He's Nick Wright from Fox Sports 1. First things first. You reported this, I think. I want to give you credit for being, you know, the journalist that you are, Woodward and Bernstein, when it comes to James Harden's jersey was retired by a strip
club. Thank you. Thank you, Dan. Can I tell you something?
This is your legacy.
You know me, I'm a radio guy at heart.
Yeah.
And 7 years ago, when I was in Houston, right after they acquired James Harden, I went and did some investigative journalism at Dreams, made famous by many a Drake song. And James Harden's only been there 6 months. And what they have at Dreams, it's a gorgeous establishment. Again, I was a younger man at the time. They have banners of their most famous performers. Diamond and stuff. And there's
Porsche,
one.
Cinnamon.
Yeah, absolutely, 1,000%. There is one that is not of one of their performers. It's James Harden's jersey. And I couldn't believe it. Now, pictures are not recommended at those places, but I managed to snap a small one and talked about it on my radio show. But again, I'm doing local radio. I'm Dan Patrick, doesn't even know my name at this point in time. Nobody cares. 3 years later, I think Steven Jackson or Matt Barnes, one of them, said it on Cowherd Show, and they get all the credit. I'm like, I broke this story years ago. So I appreciate you remembering or knowing that and giving me credit for that.
You sent out a tweet on Taysom Hill. You're not all in on Taysom Hill starting for the Saints, I gather.
I can't believe it. In fact, I don't believe it. Sure, is he starting? Sure. Is he going to throw the majority of the passes? That's impossible for me to believe. People think I don't like Taysom Hill. People actually, you know, this isn't a safe space. People think I don't like white quarterbacks. That's not really true, but I understand why people think it is. I have no problem with Taysom Hill. I have a problem with the way Taysom Hill is discussed. There are 32 teams in the league that would love to have Taysom Hill. He can do a little bit of everything. He is definitely worth a roster spot. But he's 30 years old. He's thrown 20 more career passes than me. And he's at $16 million next year. He's not a starting quarterback. Now, I don't know that Jameis is either, but I think Jameis, there's obviously more upside. Jameis is younger. Jameis, we know, has all of the ability except for not turning the ball over. And we found out he got his eyes fixed this summer. Now, I don't know if that means he was colorblind, but maybe he just couldn't see the jerseys. Maybe LASIK surgery, Jameis Winston's going to be a revelation. I just know Taysom Hill's not starting quarterback in this league. I know that. When Cam got COVID, were the Patriots like, hey, Jacoby Myers, he could start? No. Just because he played in high school doesn't mean he gets to start for the team.
You should make a bet, though, if Taysom Hill proves you wrong.
Yeah. Like, what's the bet?
Well, you got, you know, everybody on your show. I mean, I'm surprised you didn't. Nobody made a bet with you on Taysom Hill.
Well, I had. Here's the thing.
How about you wear a jersey? If he has two touchdown passes, then you have Taysom Hill week.
Where all Taysom Hill week?
Yeah, that all you do is say something nice. You wear a jersey. It might be a BYU. You become Mormon.
You know, I just thought about this. I need to right now say something nice about Steve Young. By the way, one of the most underrated quarterbacks in the history of the league. Because I trashed Danny Ainge and Taysom Hill on this show. Mm. There's going to be and Salt Lake City. I didn't even think about it.
Wow.
I know the whole Mormon community is going to be against me. You guys are wonderful people. Evidently, you don't produce great quarterbacks in New Orleans or great GMs in Boston. But aside from that, I got no beef with good folks.
You know what? For the betterment of your career, I'm going to cut you short now and just say send you into the weekend.
Thank you, Dan.
And I'm rooting for Taysom Hill now. I wasn't. I don't root for anybody, but now I am. I want him to light it up against the Falcons.
Yeah, to make me look like an idiot. That's fair. Yeah. Can I tell you one quick thing? I try to end these things like this.
Okay.
At dinner during quarantine, my daughters get to we're going to watch a show. My older daughter likes Blackish. My younger daughter, the 7-year-old, oddly enough, has fallen in love with Cosby Show. It causes big conflict. So my wife and I said, you know what? If we're going to watch something, we're going to start watching family movies. And 3 days ago, we stumbled upon the Netflix Adam Sandler catalog. And I said to my daughter, who's right now remote learning, I'm going on his show because I pointed you down there. No, they don't believe me. They're like, what do you mean his show? I'm like, he's a sports guy. No, he's not a sports guy. He's an actor. So you have convinced a young generation of America with your acting chops that that's what you do full time. So how about that?
Would you like an 8x10 glossy that I could make it out to your daughters, you know, to the kids maybe?
Oh, yeah. That would be great. Okay. That would be great. Just make sure you sign it. The guy from the Adam Sandler movie.
Okay.
Because they don't know your name.
Okay. Maybe Fritzy can get your daughter's names, and I'll be happy to sign a photo. Does your wife want one?
That's going to be a soft no, but I'll circle back.
Okay. Thank you, Nick.
See ya.
Have a good weekend. That's Nick Wright. Send your cards and letters, anybody in Salt Lake City, to Nick Wright in care of Fox Sports 1, first things first. Take a break. We're fresh off the Traeger grill right after this. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. Send this out to Kevin Cameron, friend of the show, going through a rough patch there. Send our best out to Kevin and his family. Here's Arcade Fire. College football coming up this weekend. Indiana, Ohio State. That's at noon Eastern. Wisconsin, Northwestern, UCLA, Oregon, Oklahoma State, Oklahoma, USC, and Utah. If Indiana is a 20.5 point underdog at Ohio State. Ohio State roughed up Indiana at Indiana last year. But if Indiana would win this game, big if, they'd be favored to win the Big Ten, which would be pretty amazing. Been a long, long time, a few decades that you go back to Indiana being a really competitive team in overall in the Big Ten. So that's the docket for the college football games coming up this weekend. We'll do final results of the poll question, McLovin. Last call for phone calls this day in sports history. Dale in Indiana. Hey, Dale, what's on your mind today?
59175. Yeah, Dan, I have a question for you about your choice of TV shows. You mentioned in the past you would not watch shows like Game of Thrones after watching the first episode, right?
Yeah.
So help me out here. Explain to me what it is about the first episodes of Outer Banks and Emily in Paris that tells you, hey, you know what? I want to see this to the end.
Great question.
It is a fair question, and I don't have an answer, Dale. I wish I did, but I tried Game of Thrones, and once they pushed the kid out of the window, and then I was like, all right. It felt like I might have to talk about this or understand it or go a little deeper. Outer Banks or Amelie in Paris, I don't really have to explain too much because it's pretty simple. Yeah, see.
So Andrew came in one day and was talking about Emily and Pally, and was like, this is a really great show. So I went home that night. My wife was like, what do you want to watch? I was like, I don't know. Andrew said that the show is good. We should check it out. Okay. We put it on and watched in silence for about 5 minutes. And about 5 minutes in, she was just like, you seriously want to watch this?
Yeah. Okay.
And I said, well, not really. I don't think this is
okay. First of all, I love Paris.
Same.
It's spectacular.
Yes.
And I am sort of watching. The city has its own personality. And I'm watching for Paris, not Emily. Yes, Paul.
Okay, I think you hit it on the head. You watch shows like Outer Banks and Emily in Paris, and Fritzy watches the Housewives shows, because you could kind of remove your head and your brain for 45 minutes and not think and just soak it in. And it takes no thought or thinking about the plot or the storyline or anything. Like Game of Thrones, Breaking Bad, The Wire, you got to kind of pay attention.
Yeah, but understand that I do this 3 hours a day. And you got to be, all senses got to be, you know, on alert, amber alert here. And I get done, and the last thing I want to do is A, talk sports. I will watch sports because I know I have to. But if there's downtime in between, then I'm going to watch something that's sort of mindless there. Yeah, see.
So, but there's lots of mindless television that you can sit and put on, and it requires zero thought, zero interaction, zero anything. You just lay there like a zombie and watch.
Yeah.
You just happen to enjoy this particular genre of mindless television.
No, but I'm watching, what's the Nicole Kidman show on HBO? Undoing?
Yeah, that's heavy.
That's very heavy.
Yeah.
I love it. Spectacular. Cobra Kai, you know, that's a little more like Emily in Paris or Outer Banks with John B. Yes, McLovin.
I actually find Emily in Paris a little stressful. Like every show, she's in this incredibly awkward Larry David-like situation. They steal some curb, and she's always screwing everything up. Like she should get out of Paris.
Well, she's not welcome in Paris.
She doesn't speak French.
No, really. She does not.
And you've been, Dan, right?
Like, yes, I have.
Tried to speak French.
I have tried to speak French when I'm in France. That helps. They just want you to try, and that's what I'm trying to do. By the way, the French, not a good reaction to Emily in Paris. The French are not happy with Emily in Paris in real life. Just letting you know. Nick in South Carolina. Hi, Nick. What's on your mind today?
Well, I guess I got to say bonjour, DP.
Bonjour.
Bonjour. As someone who got sucked into Outer Banks and Amelie in Paris because of my wife, I got a show recommendation for you.
All right.
It's called Dash and Lily. It's about two teens that fall in love over journal entries that they pass back and forth throughout New York City around the holidays. It sounds kind of corny, but it works kind of like those two. It's got the same quirky charm as Never Have I Ever. And I know you really like that, as did I, though there's no John McEnroe in this one.
All right. Yeah, Never Have I Ever. Johnny Mack's the voice in that. Yes, McLovin.
My Netflix algorithm is pushing Dash and Lily to me so hard. Yeah. And I know yours is too.
Yeah.
Every 5 minutes I get an ad for that.
Yes. But once again, if I want to man up, then I watch Yellowstone on Peacock with Kevin Costner. Season 3 coming out November 22nd. Anybody got any arguments with that? No, you don't.
You better sprinkle in some ice road truckers.
I do. But I build off the grid.
Okay.
I mean, I'm always building off the grid. Barnyard builders.
Ice road truckers is funny because they're always at a really dangerous spot, and I don't know if we're going to make it.
It's the same storyline with ice road truckers.
Over and over and over. In the same episode, you get the exact same storyline five different ways.
One of these years, the ice is going to break.
And one of these years, building off the grid, they're not going to get the house done. Yeah. Or somebody, they get divorced, or something tragic happens.
We caught up with them 9 months later. They were still piling the sandbags.
Yes.
Like, oh, my God.
Yes, McLovin.
Those guys are even cattier than the people on Real Housewives, half those shows. But by the way, I put up the poll. Should Dan be embarrassed about watching Emily? 63% saying yes. That's not bad.
I'm okay with that. You know what I love about this show is the audience we share, we reciprocate. You make a mistake, you say it. You forget something, you say it. You're watching something you shouldn't be watching, you say it.
DP and Pelly.
Pelly?
DP and Pelly.
I wish.
What happens when a sportscaster moves to Paris?
Yeah, but doesn't speak French. Paris Saint-Germain. Anybody else got anything? Paulie, this day in sports history.
1965, Chick Hearn became a 3,000-game streak of doing play-by-play for the Lakers. He started in 1965. 1997, A.C. Green played in his 907th straight game in the NBA.
By the way, there's a character in Emily in Paris, who looks like A.C. Green. Right? The assistant looks a little like A.C. Green. I thought that last night as I'm watching the episode.
Good on the break, solid low post game.
Yes.
Celibate.
Not a virgin, though.
Yes, he.
I was going to do an early what I learned.
Oh, okay.
If you want to. And actually, I'm going to teach you something that's going to be very important for your next venture in
okay.
life. If you need to say en fuego or on fire in French, it's c'est le feu.
C'est le feu.
C'est le feu.
Okay.
So that's your catchphrase for when you DP and Pelly.
When I go back to SportsCenter.
C'est le feu.
C'est le feu.
That left shrimp. C'est le feu.
Paulie, what'd you learn today?
I learned I got to watch Ice Road Truckers stat.
McLovin, what'd you learn today?
I learned that somebody's greenlighting Dan Patrick and Barris, by the way, as we speak.
DP and Pelly. Yes, Tom.
Frank Isola believes the Warriors will struggle to make the playoffs at all without Klay Thompson.
What we learned brought to you by Built Bar, simply the best tasting protein bar. I love all 18 amazing flavors, mint brownie, coconut almond, pumpkin chocolate chip cookie. You'll love it. BuiltBar.com. Enter the promo code DP for 20% off. My thanks to Alan, our great chef who does this every Friday. Backroom Guys, the 12:15 podcast coming up as well. Have a safe weekend. Talk to you Monday. One more item as we close out.